Welcome to another edition of the Campus Tailgate. I'm Dave Ennett, joined by Kevin Powell. Big weekend, championship weekend in college football. We finally find out where everybody's going. The final college football playoff rankings will be released after the conference championship games are played. We're pleased to be joined once again by Jerry Palm, who's got his finger on the pulse of everything happening as far as the playoff rankings and where teams are going, and writes about it, does a great job, CBSSports.com. All right, Jerry, who's got the most to lose this weekend?
Alabama, because there isn't really any realistic scenario where Alabama gets beat and stays in the top four. Clemson maybe could stay in the top four. That's a much more interesting and difficult to sort out scenario if Clemson loses. But if Alabama takes a second loss to Florida, who obviously the committee has zero respect for at this point, there really isn't any scenario that keeps Alabama in the top four. And in fact, it would knock the SEC out altogether, because, you know, Florida isn't going to jump all the way up to four based on beating Alabama.
Is there any doubt, Jerry, that the winner of the Big Ten championship game will be in the playoff?
Oh, no doubt at all. The Big Ten champion will be in, and in fact, I think the Big Ten champion is going to jump Oklahoma, whichever team wins it. What I think is more interesting is what happens to the loser, because the Rose Bowl spot could be at stake, because the Rose Bowl will most likely take the higher-rated Big Ten team after the playoff. And if Michigan State loses, you kind of wonder, is the committee going to punish Michigan State for having to play a 13th game and drop them below, you know, Ohio State, you know, the team obviously that Michigan State beat in Columbus? Or if Iowa loses, they don't have the head-to-head to work with there. And it's, you know, if it's a pretty competitive game, you know, will the committee knock Iowa down below Ohio State if the Hawkeyes lose? So that's actually one of the more intriguing questions going into this weekend, is what will happen to the Big Ten championship game loser.
Jerry, in the ACC championship game, North Carolina and Clemson, if Clemson loses, how far will they drop and how high will North Carolina rise?
Yeah, you know, that's one of those questions where there's not enough information in the question, because this committee is very dependent and reactive to margin of victory. Mm-hmm. You know, you remember Ohio State last year got into the playoff the final weekend, in part because they beat Wisconsin, but more so because they beat them by about 150 points. And that really made an impression on the committee. So if North Carolina wins a very close game, you have to wonder if Clemson would fall even behind North Carolina. You know, because their schedule's awful, North Carolina's, that is.
Yeah.
And the committee has held that against them all year. So Clemson is definitely going to have a better profile. If you have a close game that North Carolina wins, is that really enough to change the committee's mind relative to the placing of those two teams? And Clemson, you might argue, could stay ahead of Ohio State, could stay ahead of the loser of the Big Ten championship game. There's probably no realistic way they'd stay ahead of the winner. But Clemson isn't necessarily out of the playoff race with a loss in a close game. In a blowout, then I think it's different. The North Carolina probably jumps them, but probably not all the way up to the playoff, because I don't think the committee still will respect their schedule.
Yeah, and that you answered my next question. Is even if North Carolina in some crazy scenario does blow them out, you still don't think there's enough there, right, because of that weak schedule early in the season?
Yeah, and, you know, maybe if Alabama lost two, then there might be a way they could crawl into fourth, but unless they just completely run Clemson out of the building, there isn't much of a chance for North Carolina, and there isn't much of one even if they do.
Jerry, and correct me if I'm wrong, in a perfect world, wasn't the idea of the playoff to a certain extent to try to eliminate the need for style points?
No. Well, they'll never say out loud that margin of victory matters to them, but you can tell by the rankings from week to week and what we saw last year that it does matter. And I think really it should, you know, matter to some degree, because you have so few data points that you can measure in college football as compared to basketball, where you've got a 35-game season. You know, in football, teams are only playing 12 or 13 games. There aren't that many non-conference games. It's, you know, if you're not looking at margin of victory to some degree, you know, I think you're leaving out something that's really an important measure, you know, of how these teams play each other.
But the idea was that you don't have teams running up the score to try to get those style points in those some of those early season mismatches, right? Well, I mean, wasn't
well,
that at one
I
time?
I don't know that was ever really the intent, though. In the BCS era,
yes,
the BCS specifically asked their computer ranking people to remove margin of victory from the computer ranking. So there was an effort to do that in the BCS era. But now that you've got this committee together, you know, they talk about not incentivizing margin of victory in their literature, but the rankings that they put out week to week say otherwise.
All right. We're visiting with Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. What about Notre Dame? Jerry, where do they fit into the mix right now at number 8 in the playoff rankings going into the weekend with their schedule now complete?
Yeah, Notre Dame is in pretty good shape to play in one of the New Year's Six games that the committee will assign with the final ranking to come out. They'll do the 1-4 for the playoff, and then there's four other bowl games that the Rose and the Sugar will pick their own matchups, but the Fiesta and the Peach will be assigned. The next four highest-rated teams available will go into those two games. Well, three highest-rated, and then the winner of the American Conference is the representative of the group of five. So right now, Notre Dame looks pretty good for that spot. I suppose if, you know, both Florida and North Carolina lose and they both end up jumping Notre Dame but not into the playoff, then Notre Dame could get kicked out and then down into one of the ACC bowl games. But, you know, as long as everything goes kind of according to form, Notre Dame should be playing in either the Fiesta Bowl or the Peach Bowl.
All right, and Stanford, if they were to lose to USC, where do they end up?
Well, that's a good question. Probably in the Alamo Bowl, because USC would go to the Rose Bowl as the Pac-12 champion. There wouldn't be another Pac-12 team high enough to play in one of the New Year's Six games. So then Stanford just drops down into the Pac-12, you know, bowl structure. And the Alamo Bowl and the Holiday Bowl get the first couple of picks, and Stanford would surely end up in one of those two games.
Northwestern and Michigan are 14th and 15th in the playoff rankings, the next-to-last edition. Where do you see their postseason destinations?
Florida, for both of them. I suspect Michigan will be the choice of the Citrus Bowl and that Northwestern ends up in Tampa in the Outback Bowl, but it could be the other way around. But the much more likely scenario, that is assuming that all three Big Ten teams at the top end up playing in New Year's Six games, which is most likely Michigan and Northwestern will end up in either Tampa or Orlando.
Jerry, five win schools. How many are going to make a bowl? And what's the latest on Illinois are you hearing? I know they were on the fence about potentially accepting a bid.
Yeah, I have not heard anything definite one way or another about whether or not Illinois wants to accept a bid. Mm-hmm. There's a possibility that Illinois could be in position to get one. There's going to be at least two 5-7 teams in bowl games because the maximum number of eligible that could be is 78. There could be as many as five, and that would be if Kansas State, Georgia State, and another Sun Belt team that jumps out of my head at the moment. There are three of them. Oh, South Alabama are all playing for bowl eligibility this week. If all three lose, then there will be five 5-7 teams in bowl games. Nebraska is going to be in for sure. They're the highest rated team in the APR, and that is going to be how it's decided. Minnesota, if they need more than two, would probably be next in line. And then Illinois, if there's five openings, Illinois has a chance to play at one as well. Rice is also available. There'll be 81 eligible teams, and so Illinois or Rice, one or the other, will not play in a bowl game, but how that's decided is basically left to the bowls, the conferences, and the schools to fight it out.
Final question, Jerry. Who do you like in the Big Ten championship game?
I like Michigan State. I really like the way they dominated the line of scrimmage against Ohio State. Iowa is also a very good team on the line of scrimmage, and I think it's going to be sort of an old-fashioned slugfest that probably should be played outside instead of inside. But I think that Michigan wins the game by winning at the line of scrimmage, and that by virtue of the fact that they have a better quarterback, although, you know, Beathard has done a really nice job for Iowa this year.
No question about it. Jerry, thanks as always for the time. Should be a really interesting weekend to see how this all shakes out. We appreciate your insight as always.
All right, thank you.
Jerry Palm from CBSSports.com. All right, what about that Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis? Kevin, you're going to be there. Mm-hmm. Michigan State and Iowa. And it's really tough to go against Michigan State the way they played last week against Penn State, the way they've risen up in big games, Ohio State, the game against Michigan. But I still look at this Iowa team, and until somebody beats them, right, I have a hard time picking them to lose, because all they have done, when everybody has said, well, this is the end of the line for them, the unbeaten streak ends right here, they find ways to win games, and they've really won kind of impressively towards the end of the season, whether it was Minnesota or going to Lincoln and beating Nebraska the day after Thanksgiving. I'm really impressed by what they've done, the leadership that quarterback C.J. Beathard has provided, and I've got to stick with Iowa in this one, even though I just think Michigan State has had a marvelous couple of years, mm-hmm, and I think under other circumstances – I'd be picking them to win this game. But I don't know, there's something about Iowa. They've got that rabbit's foot in their pocket. I mean, they're a good team. Not meaning to demean what they've done. Right. But
well, and that's the thing exactly, Dave. I feel like everyone's faulting them for being in the West or having a weaker schedule. It's not their fault. You know what I mean? They've been slow and steady all season. They've just gotten the job done. I understand Michigan State's had these huge wins, and they've played the better competition, if you will. But, you know, Iowa has been slow and steady all season. They've gotten the job done. And I agree, Dave. There's something about this team. They have kind of a blue-collar mentality where they go out and just do their job.
You know, it turns out that Big Ten West Championship game did turn out to be the Northwestern Iowa game, mm-hmm, and that was Iowa. I think that's the game people have cited as Iowa's best win so far. It's against the team that's ranked 14th in the playoff rankings. So it's going to be a great game in Indianapolis. Connor Cook, so impressive a quarterback for Michigan State, and what he's done there, and his record as a starter is through the roof. But Iowa, just this seems to be their year, and I just don't know that there's any reason to pick against them. The other conference championship games, Clemson, North Carolina. This game has generated an awful lot of interest. The number one team facing a team from just north of the border for them that's had a great year.
Yeah, and this is North Carolina's got to be kicking themselves right now, because they right now look like one of the best teams in the country, and because of some scheduling, I'm not going to call them issues, but because of a weak schedule, they're not going to get into the playoff no matter what happens. I mean, we just talked to Jerry Palm about it. Even if they blow out Clemson, which I don't think is going to happen, but if you look at early on in the season, they have two FCS schools. If you just take one of those FCS games away, and they have a bad loss against South Carolina, I understand that. But if you have one less FCS game scheduled, then they're in a whole different position.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't even matter who it was. As long as it wasn't an FCS school, they would have put themselves in a position to beat Clemson in the ACC championship game and squeak their way into the Final Four. Personally, I wouldn't be surprised if North Carolina wins this game. I think it's going to be close, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Tar Heels come away with the win.
I think it'll be close. I would be surprised, though, if North Carolina ends up winning it. The SEC, Alabama, and Florida, I'm just not sold on Florida
offense
knocking them off. And then Stanford against USC. USC definitely could do it. They'll get a lift from having now a permanent coach named this week in Clay Helton. And USC, after a struggling start, has really turned out to have a nice season. But it's hard to look at Stanford and say they're going to, and playing in Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, not that far from their campus, mm-hmm, that they're going to drop this game. I know that it's not out of reach for USC, but I see Stanford winning.
Yeah, they've been playing great, especially as the season's moved on. I see them taking care of business against USC.
All right, it's going to be a great weekend of football. Hope you enjoy all of the games. That'll do it for
Dave, sorry, but we can't forget the biggest game of the entire weekend.
And one more game, Kevin. the Illinois State Redbird Report.
Yes, the number 2-seed Redbirds host the Leathernecks of Western Illinois in the FCS playoff. Second round, ISU had earned themselves a first round bye after going 9-2, 7-1 in the MVFC. 1 o'clock kickoff down in Normal at Hancock Stadium. Illinois State hosts the Leathernecks.
You're going to the Big Ten Championship game instead of that?
I know. My scheduling.
What were you thinking?
Not great, Dave. I planned this trip, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago. So.
Well, good luck. Safe travels.
But they have home field advantage right. The whole way. So.
And you'll still be heading down to Frisco, Texas at some
That's
point,
right.
I'm
Road
sure.
Road to Frisco begins tomorrow.
That's going to do it for the campus tailgate. For Kevin Powell, our engineer Bob Ferguson, I'm Dave Ennett. Enjoy the football this weekend. You've been listening to the Campus Tailgate from WGNRadio.com.